RadioInfluence.com. Podcasting redefined.
Tell you why you're here.
You have 210 stories. Office buildings.
We just witnessed some kind of.
You don't find a desk.
Secondary.
You don't find a chair.
Follow up explosion on the World Trade Center.
You don't find a telephone.
Some kind of explosion. A lot of smoke come out of the top.
110 stories high. They are no longer there.
The building collapsed to dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. This is your last chance.
I would ask.
After this, there is no turning back.
Once all the facts are out,
you take the blue pill.
For your understanding.
The story ends.
And for your forgiveness.
You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want.
Media is the.
You take the red
pill. Nervous system of a democracy.
You stay in Wonderland.
If it's not functioning well, the democracy can't function.
And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
The democracy can't function.
The red pill.
Take the red pill.
You have to let it all go.
Take the red pill. 911truth.org.
Doubt.
WhatReallyHappened.com.
You just believe.
WTC7.net.
Free your mind.
Take the red pill.
I'm not like sitting cockeyed when I do this show. My studio is set up in the position of an L, like, you know, one table and an L. And I realized that even though I would stare at my laptop and my information in front of me, why didn't I hear myself? Oh, yeah. Turn the monitors down. There we go. See, I had these things turned on, and that tends to lead to some feedback. Those are called studio monitors. Welcome to Dangerous Conversation. I'm Ledge, right here at Radio Influence. We'll get to it in a little while. I think we got a potpourri. We'll just bounce around tonight, have some fun. Want to say hi to everybody at Radio Influence and Happy New Year to everybody. We haven't been on the air in a couple of weeks, but you know, even though we've only done a couple of shows here, we had some decent numbers, decent downloads. I was very pleased to know that starting with such a great group of radio programs. I think there's 17 or 18 now. I was trying to count them today. Let me see. There's Beyond the Badge and Me. And we got Three Dog Off the Air, Fabulous Morse Bay, five right there. So that's seven. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, wrestling. MMA, 13, 14, 15, 16, entertainment, 17, 18. 18 different shows already. These guys only been doing this for a couple of months.
We're going to be a juggernaut, baby. Yeah. Oh, brother, let me tell you.
This is how I can relate to the shows that are on the same network as me. Just bring it on down.
Oh, yeah. Get some Randy's Macho Man. Dangerous Conversation.
It'll be fun. I have to admit, you know, I'm old school, been doing terrestrial radio since 1980. We'll get to that in a second. I'm actually talking up music again. But I can't be more than excited about watching what's going to happen in 2016. This is the year of the podcast. I am absolutely convinced of it. Radio stations have owned you going to work and coming to work, coming from work. But now, most modern cars, you got a laptop right there, a little touchtone screen. All you got to do is have your favorite radio stations anywhere in the fucking world. And you could be sitting on the Howard Franklin Bridge here in Tampa or wherever you listen to this to download this show, sitting on some bridge, listening to a show from halfway around the world in a podcast, whether live or, you know, like I'm old school, I like the live thing. That's why I stream it as well as just, you know, instead of doing a show. Because I, you know, eventually we'll fire up Twitter. You know, my old show that I did at Radio Io, we had a small, loyal following. And let me tell you, Twitter was awesome. And the direct interaction that we now have as broadcasters, which, you know, back then it was, let's go to the phones. And we had these 10-inch reel-to-reel decks. We had to record callers and get out the razor blades and edit it out if they swore. And then came the advent of the digital editor. And everything changed. Everything changed in radio. because we entered the ones and zeros. We entered the realm of the digital world. We didn't see it coming. Most of us were analog old farts like me. And little by little, next thing you know, they come in and they go, yeah, this computer is going to run your show. You don't even need to load CDs in the No, you don't even have to, like, you know, carts and old carts used to hold commercials. They looked like old 8-track tapes. And then you had CDs. You know, I date prior. I go back to actually playing 45 RPMs on a country station. How about that? Here's some Conway Twitty, motherfucker. Woohoo! That's right, Wixie Country 16. I remember the first thing I ever said on the radio. Ever. I'm going to recreate it for you right now. WIXY, East Longmeadow, Springfield, is Wixie 16. Oh, man, I screwed it up. Let me try it again. WIXY, East Longmeadow, Springfield, is Wixie Country 16. Time and temperature. Now, see, I screwed it up. My palms were sweaty. I was like, what, 19, 20 years old, first out of broadcasting school. And now, look, thousands of podcasters, people that would have never been given a chance to have a show or do a, you know, find your niche, super serve your niche. And that's what Radio Influence is building. And, you know, Jerry and Jerry Petuck and Jason Floyd are doing a great job. Why? I don't know. Maybe because they've been in the business for decades. And they just signed another, you know, huge show. And I'm not a big wrestling guy, but let me tell you. See, if you want to talk like, well, all the way back to Bob Backlund, Pedro Martinez, Chief J Strongbow, obviously Hollywood Hulk Hogan. I think Blassie was his manager. Or was it the, I don't know, okay. Then we get into Tony Atlas. Then we got Roddy Piper, rest his soul, and moving into the 80s and... And yeah, I followed wrestling for a while. Actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, I have a video. It takes me all the way back to my senior year in high school, a course called Mass Media, where me and my buddies went down to Wisquamaket Beach and literally built a cheesy wrestling ring in the sand and had, I think it was, let me see now, it was the Valiant Brothers, Johnny and Jimmy, taking on Larry Zbysko and Tony Garea. How do you like me right now with my old school wrestling? See, you guys want to talk old school. I mean, like when they wore the geeky socks with the three red stripes. Now we'll talk wrestling. But first of all, welcome to Don Tony and Kevin Castle. You know, these guys have thousands and thousands and thousands of listeners. Some of those guys will cross over to this show and realize that, yeah, I can have a good time. There's an 8-year-old that lives in my head. But sometimes I give them the night off, and other times, I you know, it's all about farts. I always let my shows flow where I am that day. And rather than book some guests over the holidays, the guests will be coming in the next couple of weeks. And believe me, we do a lot of, like, unsigned bands you've never heard before. We'll do comedians you've never heard before because they are far too political in nature. Lee Camp, Google him. He'll be on the show in a couple of weeks. And for those of you that do listen to DC, as we call it for short, dangerous conversation, show's been around for a year and a half. It was on Radio Isle. Well, of course, it was associated with Bubba the Love Sponge and his network. That's really where the show started. And what I loved about it after having to, you know, do what, you know, liner cards and weather. And even though I was a rock jock for many years and really enjoyed my gig, I got total control of content. Total. When I got a chance to do talk radio on the internet. And, you know, it's like love at first sight. That's like your first leg. And that's like, you know, holy crap, this is awesome. And, you know, and I'll get to my terrestrial part-time gig here in a second. But that's the whole idea of what everything that Radio Influence is doing, everything that my show's about, is about, I'm sorry, but corporatization has ruined, filtered, and destroyed thick, meaty, juicy content, really good content. Doesn't matter the format, doesn't matter the demographic you're after. It's all homogenized now. It's pasteurized, it's safe. It goes through, I don't know, let me see, you got the corporate PD, then you have the regional PD, then you have the local PD, then you have the, you know, there's probably a filter of five guys who decide on the t-shirts for a radio station now. And it's a damn shame. It's really kind of sucked the energy out of why I loved it so much and why guys like Jerry P. Tuck and Jason Floyd still are doing this. It's because they know how good it can be when it starts to click. And I think with the addition of this show and so many other shows that are on this network, we're going to cross-pollinate. You guys are going to realize that, you know, no, I don't talk wrestling. I don't talk MMA. But if you do bring me into that conversation, I can hold my own. We call it versatile. Being able to talk conspiracy, being able to talk, and we're going to talk a little bit tonight, quantum mechanics. You know what we're going to do is we're going to follow the smart guy in the video. That's what I call it, just dancing with the smart guy. But I will interject as I play some of that audio from a guy, God, when did I meet him? 2000. I met him in 2000. Dr. John Hagelin actually ran for president of the United States of America in 2000 under the Natural Law Party. And I met him briefly because I had read some books called Conversation with God by a guy named Neil Donald Walsh. And Walsh was touring with Hagelin to give him some press because no one knew who the hell Hagelin was. But many people had read CWG. And that's when I went and saw Hagelin speak. And I was like, wow, this guy's pretty cool. He's kind of tying together the world of religious, I don't know, truths. Religious, you know, the basics in religion where you can find the truths in some of, if not all religions, versus dogma and control and all that stuff. And then he's taken that and he's taken quantum mechanics and quantum physics, which is science, the small pieces, the little pieces, the smaller than that piece, you know, why they have the Hadron Collider overseas, why they keep smashing particles together, because they keep trying to find the smallest piece of the universe. Because, you know, it was us, and then it was molecules, and it was atoms, and it was quarks or strings, and it keeps getting smaller and smaller. But the thing about that is, and, we'll get to it in a second. I don't want to get ahead of the show, but it does a good job of, you know, actually allowing for some of the things said in religion, you know the Buddhists say that, you know, God is inside, or Christians say, you know, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. You know, there's an idea that we're more than just our bodies. Maybe we're part of this amazing matrix. And Hagelin not only is like too smart for me, believe me, I don't know the math of quantum mechanics, but I can understand how it can work when it comes to things like fractals and fractal geometry and some other things that have, as more people discover, it's like just it's like missing pieces of a puzzle. And that's the best part of it. So we're going to get to that. I'll cue that up here. I got a lot of windows open here. Let me see. That's me. We don't need that one tonight. We'll have some fun with that one. That is absolutely ridiculously funny. We're going to go to why the internet's going to take over cable TV soon. And we don't need my mail open. And we don't need this website open. But yeah, I've done radio since 1980, so, you know, the roller coaster ride of trying to still make a paycheck in this business is for so many of us become very frustrating. It's not like we lost our skill set. It's not like we forgot how to, you know, do radio or do a show or be part of a team of shows or, you know, conduct an interview or produce a great sounding promo or master. It's not like any of us, and there are thousands of us that have just been kicked to the curb. It's more like, oh, geez, giant conglomerates can't balance their own checkbooks. And next thing you know, they're $20 billion in debt. How do you fucking get $20 billion in debt? Seriously. I mean, think about you. You know what you have? You have a very, very thoughtful and flexible loan shark. Hey, man, I know I always use 20 bill, but, you know, I was wondering, you know, if I could pay you next 10 years from now. How's that sound? Okay, that means you're going to have another, because they were $16 billion in debt. And then the last time I checked, they were $20 billion in debt. I'm like, that's the loan shark. That's the vague. They're giving it up for the vague. They're like, you know who I speak, of course. one of my ex-employers, and one of many people in radio's ex-employers, the one and only, ladies and gentlemen, let's give him a round of golf applause. Once known as the Mighty Clear Channel, they are now known as iHeartMedia. Well, and this is nothing to do with it, you know, from the GMs in the buildings on down to everybody. I still have a ton of people that I used to work with, a few that are left, that are not scattered to the wind. And then across the country, it's not about that. It's about the people that now are doing their best to juggle numbers. And if they had not been concerned with controlling the message, you see, Ron, why don't we get the hiccups in the middle of a show? If they had not been so locked into right-wing red meat radio and truly had given both left and right decent sticks, transmitters, and decent frequencies, very listenable, that travel for miles, and it would have been an equal battle, but it wasn't. It was a radio empire built for the neocons to basically walk us into everything that Barack Obama, by the way, is now, he's like them on steroids. He's not any better. But you got to realize that every local radio station just has a general manager who's got a wife and kids. And, I don't blame the people. I blame the system. And that's why what's happening here at Radio Influence is going to be great. Now, there might be some day. Never mind. Let me say that differently. There will be a day when Radio Influence is packing a whole bunch of punch. There are, hundreds of thousands of downloads and clicks. And money does start to come in. And then it goes to, I'm not doing this for the money. I'm doing this for the freedom of speech. That's it. When it gets down to it, you can question anything on my program. And I won't ridicule you. I might make a little funny. If you're a flat earther, I'm going to get my digs in at you. I'm sorry. Okay? But if you're someone that's, questioning, let's say, the most recent shootings, whether that be in France, whether that be out west in California, moving back in time, I remember the one before that. Because let me tell you, there are a ton of people questioning things now. Isn't that what your brain's for? I know it's what it's mine's for, but hang on a second. I installed a cough switch, but it's behind me like an idiot, so. But there are a lot of people that are willing, and that's good, by the way. That's really good, by the way, to question whatever the reality is. It's because you can watch your TV and you can watch, Beverly Hills Housewives with horrible plastic surgery, and you can have an opinion about them. Well, then that means if you could actually dive yourself into some deeper topics, you could have an opinion. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to have a PhD to have common sense and question realities. People have been doing it for a long time now. And it's a good thing. It's healthy. It really is. It's completely healthy. It's a little scary because as soon as one paradigm goes, oh, geez, man, that means if that's bullshit, if that day, 9/11, is bullshit, then that means the wars are bullshit. That means, and it's not just, it's a domino effect. That's how it treats you. It's a domino effect. Are you ready for it? No. And take your blue pill and go back to Kim Kardashian's boot. Because that's not what the show's about. Though I can admire it. The real one, not the fake one. But, I can also, I'm being distracted. I'm watching the movie Lucy. I always run a movie while I do a show. And I'm watching the movie Lucy, which is about a girl who gains 100% consciousness in her brain. But she does it with drugs, of course. And it's a very cool scene coming up. I love these kind of movies. But what Radio Influence is doing here, and as opposed to what is, I don't know, to be perfectly honest with you, if I'll ever receive a full-time paycheck doing terrestrial radio again. I don't know. If I were a betting man, I'd say no. Not that I couldn't, deliver the format that they wanted, and not that I couldn't, keep this part of Ledge, you know, Dangerous Conversation, out of that building. They're paying me to deliver a format. They're paying me to deliver attitude or energy and information and, you know, basically present them well. I can do that. But now looking at the state of the union, I guess is a good way to put it, here on radio, I don't see that happening. I just see eventually Earhart will implode. They'll have to. You can only borrow so much money. And then there'll probably be a sell-off of some of their properties. And if they're smart, they would do that. And who knows? You know, we saw that in 08 with a lot of companies. You know, everybody from Bennigan's to Home Depot's closed. They didn't close their entire empires. They basically thinned the herd. And they wrote out some tough times. Well, what does that mean? What if iHeart were to sell half their properties? That would be about 600 properties. That completely changes the game in terrestrial radio. You're going to have a lot of other people in there bidding for properties. A lot of new investors, first-time radio people, thank God. And then you'll also see, you know, CBS is divesting properties. They've obviously swapped here with Beasley, my new part-time employer. People are trying to keep their head above water in terrestrial radio. What will do it? Let me think here. Ratings? Local connection? New or different content? Risque, if you will? You know? What will it take for the new program? First of all, the new owners of new properties, it'll happen. It's basically when empires crumble, like Russia crumbled and it became a whole bunch of provinces and different states and stuff. The same thing happens in any business. Some people come in and buy up a piece of it and rename it. Well, what happens when an empire of broadcasting and radio has to divest a good amount of their properties? You're not going to see like the people that already own radio stations getting in on the bidding match unless they can get some good properties that they can tie together. They will. You'll see some of that. But you'll probably see, I would say, at least two dozen new ownerships. And that's a good thing. That's what we want. We want diversity. We want diversity. That creates top competition, and competition raises the bar on the content. You just can't sit around and giggle and talk about pubic hair and, you know, for so long before people are like, okay, whatever. So what radio influence is doing is giving you what terrestrial radio will eventually have to do. I would say within the next 3 to 5 years, you'll see kind of the collapse of some of that. And when I mean collapse, I don't mean in a bad way. I mean the divesting of these properties. You might see a lot of those AM signals go dark. AM radio is dying on the vine. FM will be around a while. But with the amount of options, as I started this conversation and this monologue, that you will have on your dashboard, my wonderful friend here, who's putting a roof over my head right now, Richard, just went out and got himself a nice new car, and I haven't seen the dashboard, but I would imagine, what's it got? Wi-Fi. What's it got? Cell, you know, basically, you could be driving anywhere in the country. I'm not talking satellite. I'm talking you got to be within a cell tower range, but that your radio, if you will ping just like your phone will, and that means maybe it's 8:45 in the morning, and you don't want to listen to, hey, here's another 10 in a row from the most boring radio station in the history of mankind, WWQQKKKKK. You know what? That's when you're going to have that option. You're going to reach up and go, Radio Influence Podcast, Dangerous Conversation. I want to listen to some sexy Ledge. Yeah. I have this neat take on this because I'm an old fart hanging out with a bunch of newbies. And I don't mean newbies by you don't have the chops. I don't mean newbies by, honestly, that you don't have the talent or the charisma or the knowledge or just the skill set to pull off a show by yourself with no callers. Maybe just monologue. Can you monologue for 2 hours straight? Unfortunately, I can. But what I mean by that is, yes, I've got a skill set. I was paid for it okayly. That's not a word. Averagely. It's not a little worse. Let me say, I was paid because of my own ridiculous soft negotiating skills. There's a good one. I have my old contracts. I have them sitting in a folder. And I look at them and I just think of how many people around me were just cashing in. And I was like, yeah, I get a $3,000 bump. Woohoo. I'm a jerk. I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot. So I'm an old fart. I'm one of those old guys. And, you know, I listen to these new podcasts quietly. I will be reaching out to them and hopefully they'll reach out to me. I'll be cutting some little 30-second promos. Jerry, if you're listening, obviously, that these guys can run during their breaks, during their breaks, so people can what we call cross-pollinate and come over here and fucking hang out and realize that, yeah, some of the old farts are pretty cool too. Because we are. Because you know what? You know what? You know, you remember like Thanksgiving, you're like 12 and your grandmother's 70 and she's just sitting there just one after another, just farting at the Thanksgiving dinner table. And you notice the look on her face like, I don't fucking care if I'm farting. I'm 70 years old. Deal with it. Well, that's how it feels. And this is tonight's theme. To be a truther. Eventually, you start to realize that your own, not your own skills, because I have a tendency to take credit because I spit out a bit of information about something, but I wasn't the original researcher. So it always starts with the person who's fascinated by a mystery. And it's almost like watching CSI. There's a crime committed. 9/11 was a crime. Was there evidence? Sure, there was a ton of it scattered all over the place. Tons of it. Literally, tons of it. What happened to that evidence? All that steel? Was it inspected by the CSI crew? Was there boom? What's that sound? You know, I got to add that to my pod, that CSI sound. Boom. Where it does that all the time. Because they're like, okay, this is for the dumb people. When they go, boom. That means you're supposed to pay attention to what they just said. Boom. But the point is, they actually use forensic science. They actually look at evidence and DNA and powder burns and, you know, bullet trajectories, and they can figure out what happened because they take all the evidence and they put it together in this thing called forensic science. Well, none of that was done. Most of the steel wasn't just saved somewhere. It was actually shipped to China, sold to them cheap. Hey, you guys need some steel. We just, fill off a truck. What are you going to do, you know? Yeah. Just, you know, melt it down. We don't want it around anymore. You know what I mean? Okay, cool. Yeah, that's what happened. It literally happened that way. We sold it to China real cheap and they melted it. It's like this, it's like the, and not only that, firemen are sitting there going, okay, we need to study building structures if they're going to collapse this easily because of fires or something. We're going to need to know. So you have architects that are concerned. You have firemen that are concerned. You have anybody who's involved with everything from the building and demolition of buildings that goes, wait a minute, where's the evidence? We need to look at all that steel, piece it together. You know, when Flight 800 was hit by a missile over Long Island and it fell down and sank into Long Island Sound, they went down and got every piece they could and rebuilt it in a warehouse to try to figure out what went wrong. That's forensic science. But guess what happens here at 9/11? Hey, they were so paranoid about that steel that they actually put GPS trackers on the trucks. The trucks were to take them to the docks, put them on the ships, and ship it away. And they wanted to know via GPS where every one of those trucks were. What does that say? Could I say that? Could I just that little piece that I just gave you, could I say that on a terrestrial radio station and not have a general sales manager run down the hallway or one of the red, white, and blue hosts who doesn't like me or anybody or who knows the people that run a set of sticks? Would I be able to, for 4 hours of a show, just give you fact after fact after fact on that day? How long do you think it would take before I was either fired or removed or, okay? That's my point. I don't dislike capitalism. I don't like crony capitalism. But what I do, what I don't like are monopolies, because monopolies are dangerous. Ever play Monopoly? How many people win the game? One. That's dangerous. That's not good for an open for the opening of society. You want your society to be more open. Okay, you want less secrets. You want things to get better. You want to know more about what's going on. You want balance in business and especially in corporate dealings, where they can take everybody from people to the environment into account, and they can run a balanced, good corporation where they're doing good things and they're paying their taxes and right on down. There's a healthy version of what I think we all think could happen, where you do have a free and open market and good quality materials are sold and people have jobs and they're not abused in their jobs. Maybe it's not the unions of recent time, but the unions of the early 1900s were necessary. You had 13-year-olds working 20 hours in a row in a factory, you know. So balance, it's a huge word in my life. And it has everything to do with most systems, your own body, your sex life, your how much you eat, too much work versus not enough relaxation. Balance. If you're out of balance, it doesn't matter. So I'm a big open-minded guy when it comes to that. But when it came to eventually six companies owning every piece of media that you see or hear or just listen to, in other words, radio, television, satellite TVs, newspapers, magazines, who am I leaving out? Now they all even have their own blogs. Six companies own almost everything you see when you leave your house or use in your cupboards. Eventually, six will become three or four, and they will become one, and it will be fucking weird. It will be weird to not have a choice. And it doesn't happen overnight. Her name is Naomi Wolf. Google her. She wrote a book called The End of America. I think it was 08. She did an update speech in 2015. And the thing I loved about Naomi Wolf is she basically uses the word how societies are closed down. Okay, back then, you know, Mussolini could roll a tank into your neighborhood. Nowadays, it'll be a little bit tougher. It's a big PR issue, you know. So how do you, well, you curtail the information they see. You control their thought. Then you make them fear other people they've never met from cultures they don't understand. And how do you do it? You do it with the media. Dangerous conversation is meant to be on the internet. I've often asked myself, should I go to a terrestrial station and just do a weekend version of it? And just when I get to the point where I go, yeah, maybe, no, too many headaches. Right now, I'm sitting barefoot in my home studio. I got a cold beverage. I might have something else in the room that someday might be legal. My dog? Oh, she left. She was just laying at my feet, kind of like on Lassie TV. My trusty lab. The point I'm making is no one's knocking on a door, no general sales manager. No, there's no hotline ringing going, dude, you can't talk about that stuff. Because the consensus of the company that owns us is we don't allow that conversation on our airwaves. And they are our airwaves. And originally in 2004, when I bucked the system a little, it was because I came out and I said that out loud. I said, you know, WTBT is a classic rock station in your world, but it's also licensed to you. The airwaves, that frequency of 103.5 FM megahertz is licensed to this company by you guys. The American people, or the people of the Tampa Bay area, own that airwave. It is rented by a corporation. It's still that way. It's still that way. But it's not enforced anymore. And when in 2004 came around and I decided I was going to question the events of 9/11 because my ninth grade physics was kicking in. 4 years later, 3 years later, 2004, and 3 years later. Didn't go over well with them. And ever since then, I get a... been involved with that company for 14 years, and little by little, it was just kind of like, geez, they're using you less, and they don't want you in a building, and little by little, you find out that content, though it can be king, has a certain place that it needs to take place. Listen to some of the great shows here. If you're an MMA fan or wrestling fan, or maybe it's just a fabulous sports babe, it doesn't matter who's on here. No one, as they broadcast, nobody is worried about someone running down the hallway, knocking on a door and going, you can't say that. Now, don't get me wrong. You can be too crass. You can be. You could certainly be racist. You could certainly be sexist. You could certainly be a lot of things to me that make me gag. But you will have the free space to do that. And the question is, who listens? Who doesn't? Everybody will have their favorite shows. And that's not just here, of course. Radio Influence is being put together by radio people. So do you think Jerry and and Jason are the only two? Now, this, you're going to see 2016 is going to be the year of the podcast. I'm not sure when Google will do it, but I've heard from former PD that they will. Let me click on a Google site here. Now, you know, when I go to, let me just go to video. I want to see what the categories are at the top of the screen. Well, it would help to include the word, the letter V here. There we go. Right there. Try it again. Google Video. Okay, so we've got all videos, news, images, apps, more, search tools. So let's click on more. Now we got maps, shopping, books, flights. Guess what'll be at that somewhere up there? It'll either say podcast or sound or audio. I think it might just be audio. That's right. At the top of this Google search engine will be a place where you can, instead of just going, okay, I need to type in radio. No, you don't. Click on audio. Boom. What do you think will be registering towards the top of that? What do they call it? I'm not an internet geek guy. That page. Okay. What's going to be at the top of it? Probably, I don't know, Joe Rogan, maybe? You don't know. If it's just audio, that means it's only a podcast or a song. But the idea that Google is now recognizing that how many people, either previously professional or now turning it into a profession, in other words, an old terrestrial guy or a new podcaster, and they both have the same goals in mind, is not only do they now have a platform to do their shit, which is awesome, but there's a chance that they might be able to monetize it eventually. And it's all about content. Content has always been king. Doesn't matter. Rodney Dangerfield was one ugly motherfucker. Okay? But he'd stand there and shake like he had to pee. And he'd just hey. And he had a rhythm. And he was just, you know, content. His content was king. Phyllis Diller, Roseanne Barr. It's not about the outer wrappings. It's about the content. And then you get to levels that I'm enjoying and I'm very grateful for, guys like Bill Hicks and George Carlin. We'll do a Carlin's Corner in the second hour, by the way. I'm not sure who I'm going to. We feature other comedians, not just George. And I got a feeling, I'm thinking maybe some Bill Burr, or maybe, you know what, let's do some Joe Rogan. That's what we'll do. We'll do some Joe Rogan tonight for Carlin's Corner. Big fan of Joe. I am a little jealous that he's taken so many of the topics I love to talk about and has had, 100,000 times the exposure. But him and I bet we could burn a big fatty and have some great talks because he still, even though he's a little tight about 9/11, you know, he's not going to go overboard like I do and say, it is bullshit. I can't tell you exactly what officially happened that day, but I can definitely tell you what didn't happen. And he does dance around it, but a lot of the stuff he talks about, as I love to talk about, everything from metaphysics to quantum mechanics, and it sounds like I'm smart. I'm not. It's all you got to do is get the basics of something like this, and you'll find it. You'll find it. You'll find where I find the connection. And that's where I figured I would go tonight. I figured to myself, you know, you go down the shows you've done and you go, well, I'm going to do a lot of different shows. I'm going to bring a lot of different, you know, going to be like a Barnum and Bailey here pretty soon. We'll bring back a lot of regulars. If you're new to this show, you don't know who Jason Burmis is, or you don't know who Brad Friedman is, or if you don't know who a lot of those people, these are what we call regulars in the business. These were people when I was doing it 5 days a week, were actually on my show once a week. And we do a solid hour of just fun back and forth radio, sometimes absolutely agreeing, and sometimes using the best part of the internet, the freedom of speech, to call each other fucking dicks and to eat a bag of dicks. It's great. I'm like Mr. Terrestrial Radio. Everybody in the studio is swearing, and I'm like, man, you know, I got to learn to do that. I got to learn to enjoy that freedom. And I'd be handcuffed by the language, the guttural utterances of my vocal cords, the vibration of my teeth and gums, how my mouth and tongue are positioned, and out comes air with frequency vibration. And, oh, yeah, we're so evolved. We're not. We're not that evolved yet. But the idea that Radio Influence is doing it right. And when Jerry and Jason, actually it was Jerry that approached me, I said, you know what, this is definitely a place I want to hang my shingle. I'm going to enjoy doing shows here. Sometimes you'll see I freeform it. Sometimes it'll be very strict. I'll literally have two acts booked. And, you know, it'll be a 10-minute open, get to that. Because I love the long-form interview. You have to remember, we will eventually monetize this a little bit more. There might be a slot somewhere where a commercial or two runs. We want to obviously turn this into a business model, but there'll be a place where I can float a break. He goes, yeah, you can float that. You know, if you're hitting on all cylinders on a great interview, you don't go, oh, it's okay, let's go to commercial. No, you squeeze that, the best part of that interview. And then when it dies down a little, then you go, okay, let's go take a break. So there will be what we call in the business a stop set, where the entertainment stops. And then you get to hear from our sponsors. But I have a feeling a lot of that is either going to be live, and I'm hoping it is. Jerry loves the idea, and so do I. In other words, you know, I'm going to learn about our advertisers here, and I'm going to get to know them. And when I speak about their product, I'll know what I'm talking about. I myself am going to go out and seek some sponsors. I'm a little bit more of a solar energy and biofuels kind of a guy. These businesses are coming up. There are now stock exchanges where you can invest in these type of small businesses. So, A, I want to put a few dollars in. B, I want to get them the press they need. And we can bring them in at a very affordable advertising rate to get to know a lot of people. And I'm more for, if I'm going to endorse something, I need to believe in it at this point in my career. And, yes, many times I said no. Alleged, would you like to, you know, talk about this? I'm like, you know, let me look into it and get back to you. No, thanks. No, it's not for me. So it'll give me the freedom to do that. This may never be a full-time paycheck. But think about what you do for a living. Whatever it is you do. Now think about the ultimate situation you could do it in. You know, a cooler boss, maybe some flexible hours. There's some creativity allowed in the job. You get to exercise it. If you're taken seriously by the people you work with, and not only that, and most importantly, there's a great feeling of family that you're all out to accomplish a singular mission. That's Radio Influence. That's what all these shows are about. Sure, they're a little indulgent. Couple of guys sitting around cracking a few beers open, talking about wrestling and farting. Fucking A, good for us. Good for us. We should be doing this. Are you kidding me? I don't want to look back and go, no. I just basically did terrestrial radio on the internet. Why? Why? And oh my God, for the love of God, why? No, don't let. So Dangerous Conversation, the name fits. We're not afraid to drop an F-bomb. If you're offended by words, seriously, you're listening to the wrong podcast. Okay? You can't go there. Okay? You've got to be someone that's, I don't know, risen above that a little. Maybe you had an uncle who swore all the time. Maybe your dad did. Maybe you do. I don't care. They're just words. The only time they're wrong is when they're meant to inflict pain on another human being. When you take some words and you use them in an anger or attacking way, then yeah, those words can have some teeth to them. But other than that, they're just words. They're just fucking words. Because if they shut down the internet, like they shut down terrestrial radio, oh, I'm going to go work at Home Depot in the garden department, hand out flowers to old ladies. I will not go near media if they shut us. If they find a way to go after podcasters, and believe me, they are. They've tried. There's a bunch of assholes in Texas, just a law firm that went after Adam Carolla and Jay Moore, and had to do with some cheesy software that stacked their podcast for them in order, and they own the software. And then, of course, since everybody's using that software, and they went after those guys for hundreds of thousands of dollars. You don't think they're going to try to either cut in on the huge success of what podcasts will be and cut in on it, limit it, shave it, you know, trim it down to what's acceptable, and then also get a chunk of the pie? That's the one thing they're trying to do with CISPA and PIPA, and they're not members of Sound of Music. CISA. Just a bunch of corporations want to own everything. And damn it if they're not achieving. You know, this is like, have you read 1984 or did you fake it in high school? Because you know, I faked it in ninth grade when I was supposed to read it in Mr. Trout's class. And somehow I got a C. I think I copied off of Robbie Greaves' test about it. But just listening to the class discussion of the book, even though you haven't read it, like when Trout goes to, oh, there's Margaret. Margaret stands up, and she's such a kiss ass too. Margaret, so, oh, I think the main character. And you're sitting in the back room going, God, shut up, you kiss ass. You know you're going to get an A. You know you're going to get an A. God, why don't you just fuck up the curve for all of us? But no, I didn't read it. But some people, enough people had read it that I learned enough about what it was. And what did I do a couple years later? I was curious. I was like, you know, 1984, man, a world where they control your thoughts and, you know, and everything's on TV. They can see you constantly and they always know what you're up to. And geez. And of course, the book was written way before 1984. And here we are in 2016. And damn if it's not coming in to view. Absolutely. That's what Naomi Wolf writes about. Is the shutting down of societies. And what she did was she went back in time. Her grandmother was the child of an Auschwitz survivor. So she goes back in time. And she decides that she's going to look into how, you know, Mussolini, the fascist of Italy, comes to power, or Hitler. Or she looks back into time and she realizes that all of the countries, it didn't matter which the country was, when they shut down their societies, 10 different things took place. And we're not doing this show about it, but I will mention that one of those things was what I've been talking about, controlling the message, controlling the media. If you control the media, you control what people think about things. It's that simple. And I couldn't do this show and bring great, compelling guests and whistleblowers and people that are over the edge, not because they say fuck or shit, it's because what they're talking about is very, very compelling. And it doesn't have to be about ancient aliens. And that's another thing. There's a lot of people at night that do some of what I do, and they do it on terrestrial radio. Clyde Lewis does it, and of course, Art Bell did it, and George Norrie does it. And Bell just quit again. There's a lot of people, you know, they'll talk about, oh, 9/11 inside job or Building 7. And they'll talk about, the Federal Reserve and their control and all these things. But they'll also throw in a lot of ancient aliens and some crop circles. Because then everybody can just go, oh, yeah, those guys with tinfoil head, you know. Okay? So as long as they're talking enough about ancient aliens, and by the way, I think that's how they add radio stations. I kid you not. I kid you not. But what they do is they get enough of what I like to talk about out there, minus what I'd like to do call the rocker attitude. Yes, I step outside the box. Yeah, I've definitely marched to my own drummer. I have worked at rock stations my entire life. I have experimented with a few drugs, and there are many I've stayed away from and never done. Because you know why? Because no one's going to tell me what to think about something. No one's going to tell me how to dress. No one's going to, well, my girlfriend does. She will. Kelly doesn't like my dirty baseball cap, so it's already changing. So someone's going to tell me how to dress. Okay, I got to move through that one. But no one's going to tell me the content I can bring to an entertainment platform known as talk radio, and that's why I do what I do. It's, do you know how satisfactory it is to have this be the 37th year of my radio career? No, that's impossible. I started in 80, so that would be my 36th year. My 36th year of doing radio. And now I'm surrounded by a kick-ass studio that I got from a Kickstarter. And I get a chance to stream on a great network like this and have this download go somewhere. And realize that I'm going to grow my audience. Everybody at RI is going to grow their audience. And I'm part of something special. It's fun to watch it. I don't know what it was like to go, you know, to grow Google from a garage or have Amazon start in someone's, you know, backyard or wherever those tales are. But I do see what's happening in what we'll call internet radio. Because there's a lot of internet media. I mean, everyone's got YouTube channels now, and belly dancers have channels, and rednecks that scream and yell have channels. And that's what I love about YouTube, by the way, is everybody gets to be a star now. Everybody has a voice. But again, content rises to the top. So when I first did this podcast, it was a broadcast. It was a live stream. It was part of Radio IO. It was at night. It was 8 to 11. But I knew that I had a somewhat small built-in base of listeners that would listen to Bubba in the morning and then Shannon in the afternoon and then me. Well, we have the same thing at Radio Influence. You can listen live, or all you got to do is click on any one of the shows, click your download, or go to iTunes, or go to, you know, the different places you can find our show, my show, our shows, and really and watch what happens over the next year. This company's, you know, I'm not saying we're going to be on the Billionaires Club, but what I am going to say is watch the content. It's like popcorn. It's like one kernel, then two, then five, then boom, 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 boom. And that's what it's going to be like. It's going to be a very interesting year in 2016. So before I get to a little bit of, let me see here, recently bookmarked. Where is my boy, Dr. John Hagelin? There's part one of two. Let's turn the pot down. See, I got to run my own board. Because right then I would have went like to the board up, like get the actual video ready that we're going to bounce around through. Well, what's it like to have been a truther since 2004? At first, it was a lonely dance. It was a lonely dance. It wasn't until I bumped into a few people that lived locally. I don't even remember how I bumped into them. It was probably, I think it was some type of chat room where I was asking questions about it. And I think I put my air name down. And I think it might have been Rob Revere. Who is already doing a podcast. This is 2005 or 2006. I'm trying to remember when Jimmy Walter came through town with the original 9/11 Truth Gang there. I can't remember. But I do remember someone saying, is this so-and-so from Thunder 103.5? And I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, you live here in town? And that's the first time that I actually had someone else that was, I don't know, using their fucking skull to look at that day and think for themselves. Regardless of their politics, regardless of who served, my grandfather was in the service and my daddy was in the service. You know what? It doesn't change the truth. Okay, whatever your nationalistic beliefs are and how much you love the flag or, you know, you hold the Constitution close to your heart, none of that changes what is the truth. It won't fit into your paradigm. You can't just say, Ledge, yeah, he's that conspiracy theorist, and then just keep walking. It doesn't work that way. Because I'm like that little seed that just gets wedged under your denture. Oh, am I just making denture references? Oh, yeah, I'm hip. That's what the truth does. And then eventually, here's what happens. People, they'll get to the point where they'll quietly watch documentaries and they'll come to their own opinion. But publicly, nah, they won't say anything. Or they'll just kind of nod along quietly, or they'll make a reference about something. But that just means they're not ready to publicly call out bullshit. And let me tell you, it's like the birth canal. It's messy. You come through. You don't know who's your friend. You don't know anything. It's a lonely place. And then little by little, you realize, holy shit, there are 2,400 architects and engineers and people that build buildings for a living, including firemen and people that make steel for a living, and they're all calling bullshit. All of them. Think of the brain power there and the experience in building skyscrapers. Dubai? Ring a bell? How many days ago did a 30-story fire take place? The building didn't fall anywhere, didn't go anywhere. That's why buildings are made of steel. Because those fires burn not even half as hot to melt it. And that's what people called out about 9/11. And that's what more and more people are calling out. But see, the moment you say, oh yeah, Building 7 was blown up, you can tell. Well, then everything unravels. Your brother being in the arc, you know, being in the service and going to Afghanistan and dying, and you wanting to think that he did it for all the right reasons, and your paradigm is going to tell me to kiss off. That's what it's like to be a truther. You know what it's like to have someone in your family stop taking you seriously and start raising the eyebrow like, Scotty's going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Do you know what it's like to be in a relationship and not get any backing at all from your partner and some of the most difficult career choices you've ever made? Willing to say something out loud, at least while I was still employed anyway, on a transmitter owned by the same company that was all about the wars 2 miles from CENTCOM. It was a game changer for me. It was my life-changing moment. And, you know, that's the thing. You always question, well, was it? Ask yourself, would you go back and do it again? Yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Because eventually I found person number three, and then 10 people, and then it was 100. And then there was documentaries coming out. More and more people outwardly questioning what is the pivotal day in history for anyone who is an adult now. For most of the world. Definitely here in America. Most definitely in the Middle East. And all the politics and the homeland security and homeland defense and grandma getting frisked at an airport and the list. Oh, believe me, the list just goes forever. The National Detention Authorization Act, where you can be arrested for no reason, locked in a building for no reason, never get a lawyer, and never go to trial. And that's what Barack Obama signed. Mr. Oh, graduate of legal college. Yeah, sure. Mr. I won the Nobel Peace Prize. What a jester he's been. Just as much as the one before him. When you start to see who's pulling the strings, when you start to see that these guys are just role players, it is that pyramid. I'm sorry, it's not an Illuminati reference. It is simply, yes, at the top of that pyramid is the power. And everything else trickles down that way. So put put those guys, you know, the people you think that the people that make up the decisions of how the world is going, presidents and senators and all those people, locally, yes, they can affect your life with changes and or the lack thereof. But when it comes to world policies, they're reading the script. They got a teleprompter rolling in front of them, and they better pay attention. And guess what's not there anymore? The Fourth Estate, the press, the real press. Back in the 70s, when newspapers were privately owned and independently owned, radio stations were independently owned, and television stations were independently owned, and people at the Washington Post discovered Watergate, and people elsewhere discovered Iran-Contra. And that's when the Fourth Estate, the media, was actually people asking goddamn questions about the reality and doing research and connecting the dots. Those people are gone now. Now it's like a blonde with great legs, some handsome square chin guy with some silver locks.
Hi there, I'm your anchor man. Trust me.
Hi there, I'm your anchor woman. Check out my titties. Whoopity doo.
No one is, you know, if they tell you about some local guy flashed some kids in a local park, yeah, that's an investigative reporter. Okay, I'm talking about the real stuff. Media is owned by six companies. It's not good. It's not a good thing. It doesn't make for the free flow of information. That's hour one. I know I got John Hagelin queued up. We'll have a little fun with him. And I do want to have some fun with drop-ins. Break here in a second. The whole idea of why I do Dangerous Conversation for, well, there was this hiatus, so we'll say coming up on 2 years from a year and three quarters that it had all the way to, or a year and a half that it had to its upstart now. And it is going to appear in different places depending on the situation because it's my baby. It's my joy. It's, you know, I raised it up. It has a great crew. Where do you get to know those guys? We'll be using different softwares to do the show live from various locations where I'm here and someone else is in their home studio and so on. That is the future of broadcasting. It's amazing. I'm, you know, it has to be. I'm 35 years into this business. You do get bored with stuff. You do eventually go, oh, okay, I'm sorry. But I got to tell you, I wasn't bored talking up music last week. It was new to me again. I was like, oh, I got 17 seconds over this Michael Jackson intro. I got to talk about the website. Okay. And all of a sudden I'm in there, Tampa Bay's Q105. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm hot shocking it. I'm rocking it. I'm hitting posts. Stepped on a couple. But it was fun. Dangerous Conversation is fun to do because I enjoy the forum. And once you get to know the guests, and then once you get to know the crew, and then once you tag along for the attitude and the fun that we do have, because I am a guy of balance, you know, I'll be serious, but I got to enjoy my fucking life. You don't know when it's going to end. That the idea that radio influence is just a great home for me. It's perfect for me. I go up and down the shows and I'm like, yeah, people that listen to that kind of show, or people listen to, you know, an MMA or a wrestling show, sure, they check the show out. Because they got a little edge to them. They don't dance around stuff. All right, when we come back, and what I mean by when we come back, let me see. I just want to play like a quick song. I figure I'll play like maybe one quick tune. And I want to come back, and I want to talk a little bit about what John Hagelin talks about. It's an interesting interview. It's based on some of the stuff he talks about in a movie that he was in. I think it was called What the Bleep Do We Know or I Know. And it's kind of a little touchy-feely in the metaphysics side. But what he tends to do is keep it really into the quantum mechanics part of what's going on. And, you know, it's got the little cheesy music under it from time to time. But it's a damn good interview. And I think I think what we'll do is we'll dance. It runs about 15. If we do some stop and starts and have a good time with it for a little while. Can you tell I'm stalling to find a song? Yeah, me too. I got to run my own board. I'm not paying attention. All right, there we go. We'll dance around with Dr. John Hagelin. And let me see, what else? I know a couple things I wanted to talk about tonight. We got that taken care of. Yes, we'll have a little fun with some drop-ins if we get some time. We'll explain. You guys know what drop-ins are if you're radio heads. You guys know that. But we'll come back and listen to a little bit of what he's got to say about the quantum mechanics and the structure of what makes the little pieces, and they all add up to us, of course, on Dangerous Conversation.
Whoa, man. You're getting crazy now.
Scott Ledger.
That wordsmith who will whisper all the wonders of the world.
Are you the little guy making all that big noise?
I'll tell you the truth. I don't really feature listening to a replay of last night. You know, it's kind of depressing.
What I feel, I can't say.
Here's Scott Ledger.
That name has been haunting me since I was a kid.
I don't know if anybody's listening. Are they?
Just by watching TNN, he's learned over 20 Southern dialects.
Scott Ledger.
Dangerous conversation.
Welcome back, Dangerous Conversation, hour number two of RadioInfluence.com. It's Scott Ledger.
If you're old to the program, what's going on? If you're new to me,
I think you'll enjoy the ride. Give us, give us 12 podcasts. If you're not convinced by then we're not for you. That's cool. But if you are a free thinker, if you're a critical thinker, if you're sick and tired of the world telling you who you should be, what kind of sexual orientation you should be, what kind of God you should believe in, what you should be able to do or not be able to do with your body and your money, if you're a little tired of that shit, I'm for you. Believe me, I am. But knowledge is power, and it takes a while to change what's going on. There's a lot of momentum in the wrong direction. George Carlson calls it, we're circling the drain. I'm a little bit more of a positive thinker. I have a tendency to think that, you know, we're going through some growth spurts, we're going through some growing pains, and we will always have to keep an eye out for corrupt people. Because, well, power corrupts, and power corrupts ultimately, and ultimately, yeah, I fucked that quote up. Basically, ultimate power corrupts ultimately. There. That's sort of better. So, as you get to know this show, as you listen to me, if you're old and I'm kind of, you know, reintroducing some of the things I think about and why I think about these things, then, you know, just, I guess you're going to have to suck it up. You're just going to have to go, Ledger, you know, I heard you do this show 2 years ago. No, I've got a whole new audience and a whole new radio station I'm involved with. So in 2000, I was always a registered independent. I had read a lot of books on metaphysics, near-death experiences, mediums, and I stumbled upon a book called Conversations with God. It kind of gave me a different concept of what permanent consciousness or total consciousness is. You know, if there's something called God or, you know, the perfect being, where would that being exist? What would it be? What would it be about? Would it be about, you know, raining fire down on people and flooding planets and punishing people? Or would it be about the ultimate teacher and love and unconditional love? And I started to sort of replace what I'd been told religiously growing up with the concept, at least leaving my mind open to the idea that the concept of God or permanent consciousness or life after death or all these things needs to be elevated to perfection, and then everything underneath it will have a greater understanding of itself. In other words, if you start with a perfect God, perfect, doesn't get angry, doesn't judge, it's just the ultimate teacher, and it will never not love you. And you notice I say it. It's because I started to remove the he from the masculine reference to God a few years ago, and now it's less personal to say it. I get it. But what I'm trying to show you is, It's not an old fart with a gray beard. Okay? Sorry, it's just not. And I kept waiting for science. I shouldn't say I kept waiting. I was unaware that science was keeping pace with some of the things I was reading about. And that includes this guy, who I meet because I'm kind of a groupie for this guy, Neil Donald Walsh. In 2000, I'd read his books, and he was coming to town. Well, he was throwing his mini celebrity into an endorsement for Dr. John Hagelin, who was running for president of the Natural Law Party. That's a cool Natural Law Party. I mean, I could take that to, like, that's a great name for a rave, you know, Natural Law Party, all the way to what it really means about that. Maybe there is a natural law dictating everything, not dictating, but the building blocks that shows us. Yeah, you got some free will, but yeah, there's a structure to this thing. Well,
I think that's what they call quantum physics, the structure of the matrix. That's why I play the matrix opening on the show, is because we might be in an illusion. I know. I'm not saying we're not in illusion, but I'm saying quantum mechanics and quantum physics and metaphysics and people that talk about, like, a medium like John Edward that talks about vibration, you know, vibration, and, you know, when he's feeling the soul of this other party and he's trying to tell this person that they're okay after they've died, he mentions they lower their vibration and they try to meet my vibration halfway. Well, what are you? You're a bunch of vibrating atoms. You have a vibration. There's a frequency to you. So the solids, you know, the solids in our world are simply vibrating atoms, but they're vibrating slower. So the slower they vibrate, the denser they are, all the way to lead. So matter, even though matter is physical, even though I can't take one hand and put it through the other. I'm not Bruce Lee, and I can't do that. I'm not Obi-Wan. I can't do that. But what I can understand is at the microscopic level, if I were to look at my hand with an electron microscope, it would be mostly space. You could actually move like you were driving on a curvy road around every cell in my body and go all the way from where my palm is to the back of my hand and not run out of space. We are 99.99999% space. That's crazy. That's what the little pieces say. So while setting this up, I have a tendency, by the way, if you're new to the show, I do stop and starts on videos. I like to interject or throw a thought in or say, hey, that reminds me of. But there are times when I'll just disappear here for a little while because what the content is solid and it's this kind of the stuff I want you to hear. So I know it kind of starts at the beginning, but this is an interview with him, Dr. John Hagelin. Now, he's a professor of physics. He's the director of the Institute of Science, Technology, and the Public Policy at Maharishi University of Management. He's developed a supersymmetric flipped string theory. And he also, of course, has been, like I said, ran for president. I would love to meet him and interview him. I hope to someday he's on the bucket list of guests. He's the kind of guy that you might be able to roll a big fatty with, sit around an awesome backyard fire and just talk about the possibilities of what we are. And that's why I love doing this show. Because we don't know. And the possibilities are pretty interesting, all the way down to the kind of stuff this guy knows. All right, here we go, Dr. John Hagelin. Let's hear a little bit from him anyways, okay? Oh, see, I give him the big run-up, and there's always like, they don't start the music till later. See, and now if I had known this, I would have
I'm going to go back to something you said about in the film, the integration of the quantum and the neurology and that's sort of the biology part. Because people, we purposely in the film kind of left that vague so that people could put it together for themselves. And they're very interested in the science behind that. How do you see them fitting together?
This guy blows my mind with the knowledge he has about everything from the micro to macro. I think he even says that later on. But here we go, John.
Well, you did a very nice job in fitting them together in one way in the film. And that is both really see both of these disciplines, modern quantum physics and molecular biology, neuroimmunology. They both say that we do create our own realities and that we have a lot of responsibility over the world in which we live, at least the way we experience the world and the way the world behaves towards us. That's a very good connection, actually. That was brilliant. Ultimately, what we'd like to see is, what is the physics of consciousness? We can ask that question today. What is consciousness? Where does it come from? What are the origins of consciousness? What are the limits of human potential? We're in a position to actually answer that now, I believe, although there's certainly not consensus yet in the scientific community about that. But with the real cutting-edge knowledge, the discovery of the unified field, the so-called superstring field, we now understand that life is fundamentally one.
Okay, you got to stop it there because, you know, you hear that all the time in religions. the number one, the unity that everything is either God or everything is connected in its separate pieces, and there are separate gods and separate multiverses. You know, I don't want to get it real complicated, but the whole idea is, much like Neo in the Matrix, right at the end, he gets shot. And then, of course, he comes back to life. Now, when he stands back up, he doesn't see the walls on the, down the hallway anymore. He sees, essentially, like he would be looking through a microscope. And he sees what the walls are made of. Atoms. And those atoms are made of smaller and smaller and smaller pieces. This is what John Hagelin knows so well. So he sees the Matrix as it is. He doesn't see it as there's a wall. He sees it as, oh, there's more of that code. They call it code. And over here, we call them atoms. So is everything, as John just said, one?
At the basis of all life's diversity, there is unity. At our basis, you and I are one. And that unity at the basis of mind and matter is consciousness, universal consciousness. So with that deep understanding that consciousness isn't created by the brain, it's not purely an outcome of molecular chemical processes in the brain, but is fundamental in nature. It's the very core of nature. We call it the unified field. Now that we have that foundational understanding of what consciousness is, we can solve the mind-body problem. We can see how consciousness percolates up through our physiology to become the consciousness that we experience and see and sensory perception and all of that. So there is a foundation now to really link rigorously neuroscience with quantum physics. That might be really a next step in the development of the movie. You've asked the questions in the first movie. Now we're just on the verge of being able to answer those questions.
That is Dr. John Hagelin. The movie, I believe he's referring to, and I had it on DVD a while back. It's called What the Bleep Do I Know? Marlee Matlin. Remember her? She's on TV. She was deaf. Good-looking lady. Very good-looking lady, as a matter of fact, Marlee Matlin. And she stars in this movie, which I have seen, called What the Bleep Do I Know? And it really does delve into, are we creating our own reality? Through my thought, through your thought, through everybody else's thought, what is now called universal consciousness. Not like just my consciousness or just yours, which would only be two. That wouldn't be the universal consciousness. The universal consciousness is everything that's aware at every level, all connected. The shrimp on the bottom of the bayou is aware of there's food in front of him. That is his level of consciousness. The dolphin that is swimming and using its pod on the front of its brain to send out sonar waves and knows exactly where the sharks are and the baitfish are is using its consciousness. I'm using mine to speak to you right now. I have thoughts. They come through my, I don't know, where is your consciousness? But I know it comes through me, not from me. People ask me all the time. And I go, no, it comes through me. It's kind of like, you know, you got a good buzz and you feel real good and you just feel like you're connected to something else besides yourself. That type of connection. Hey, that's what people feel at raves. At 6 a.m, if they got MDMA in them, they're feeling that same thing. Their consciousness is feeling, they're feeling like there's more than just them. They're looking at each other around that rave and, you know, they're saying pleasant things and loving things and caring things to each other. They're feeling more connected. That's simply a chemical reaction of serotonin in the brain. So we know what causes it, but we don't know where it happens. We don't know the movie screen. You know, your ears work a certain way in your brain, your eyes, your hands and your nerve endings, and you have your five senses, and they all go to your brain. But then where do they send that info? Where does it play out? Where's the movie screen of my life right now where I can see my hand in front of me? They don't know where that happens in my brain. They don't know where consciousness exists. So here's the next idea, and John, this is what I think John is saying, is it's all one consciousness. Experiencing itself subjectively, that is a Bill Hicks quote, very famous one. Break it on down to... Everything is pure consciousness or God, and it's all creating these illusions of separation between me, the desk, the computer top, and the beer can. Okay, I've got four things right now. I've got space, I've got time, I've got all these dimensions created by these atoms the way they are. That is the matrix in which I live in. It's a three-dimensional matrix, but I'm the fourth dimension because I move through it and all things take place like that. So we're now starting to go to deeper levels of what we are, who we are. And, you know, because religion, a lot of fables and a lot of stories and, you know, it always seemed to be smiting and sacrifice. There always seemed to be punishment. There always seemed to be control. And I think what you're seeing a lot of people that are leaving, like me, an organized religion base and finding the beautiful meld between what we would call metaphysics and quantum physics. The idea that you might just be a permanent piece of consciousness, that you've always existed, that you're Joe right now and you're Sally right now, but later on, you might be something else. That's what the near-death experience says to you. And that's the same thing this guy says. He just uses fancy words in math. And math is the science, the physical science, that atheists like to use a lot to claim there's no God, because they have an issue, of course, with, you know, again, you know, a God that makes it rain fire. I mean, what kind of God would that be? That's a pretty lame God. I mean, you know, I've got more patience than that God. I mean, I would be a better God than some salt raining fire guy. So what atheists do is they attack the existing descriptions of God. And what I like about what metaphysics is doing, as well as the connection to quantum mechanics, is it's starting to find how the science can relate to a permanent state, the unified field, something that always was, is, and always will be. That's badass.
So you mentioned the unified field. For people who never, a lot of people are going, well, that sounds nice. It's unified. Everything's one. Could you dive a little more technically into what the unified field is?
Progress in our understanding of the universe through physics over the past quarter century has been exploring deeper levels of natural law, from the macroscopic to the microscopic, from the molecular to the atomic to the nuclear to subnuclear levels of nature's functioning, so-called electroweak unified scale, grand unified scale, super unified scale. And what we've discovered at the core basis of the universe, the foundation of the universe, is a single universal field of intelligence, a field which unites gravity with electromagnetism, light with radioactivity.
Hang on. I guess I can go back. I don't like going back in videos.
Field of intelligence, a field which unites gravity with electromagnetism.
Okay, see, that's like old Newtonian physics, right? Gravity versus quantum mechanics, electromagnetism, where the small pieces have an effect and an influence on what's going on. Go again.
Light with radioactivity.
Light with radioactivity. You know, you only see 3% of the visual spectrum of energy. Now, what we see is the visible light spectrum. We know what? We know X-rays exist. We know gamma rays exist. We know other rays, you know, I don't have the chart in front of me, but you know what I'm talking about. We only perceive a small percentage of that. So he's talking about the theory here that is starting to unite two ways of thinking.
With the nuclear force, so that all the forces of nature and all the so-called particles of nature, quarks, leptons, protons, neutrons, are now understood to be one. They're all just different ripples on a single ocean of existence. That's called the unified field or superstring field. And it's a mathematical tour de force. But we have realized Einstein's dream. He dedicated half of his life to discovering this unified field. And now in the context of the superstring, that has been achieved. So unified field theories based on the superstring identify a single universal field of intelligence, an ocean of existence, at the basis of everything, mind and matter.
That's, you know, remember now, that could easily have been a Bible verse. Let me play it back for you. Now think about what he says here and just, you know, put the thys and the doused and the fancy words around it.
A single universal field of intelligence, an ocean of existence, at the basis of everything, mind and matter.
And now the math is working out to show you that the smaller piece, and that's what they're doing with the, you know, with the Large Hadron Collider. I know there are theories about creating a black hole and we'll all get sucked into it and the universe will disappear. And it was Stephen Hawking that did warn that if we were to mess with this too much, we could do that. But of course, that's based on a machine that's about as big as our Earth. So if we were to make a Large Hadron Collider that big, we might create enough of a magnetic field to create a black hole. And if you create a black hole, then it's kind of like a vacuum cleaner out of control. And then it just starts sucking everything in. And black holes eat everything. They even eat stars. We know that. So what he's saying the same thing. He's just saying it on the macro level. All the way down, he calls it the unified field. I guess, I don't know. I'm not a physicist, but I do know unified. It's right in the word that, you know, we are all the same matter taking place. We're just doing it from separate perspectives. We're all made of carbon. That's what happens when stars explode. We are stardust. Crosby, Stills, and Nash. We are stardust. Okay, I won't sing. But that's what we are when it comes to the matter, to the large Newtonian matter. And then all of a sudden, you go below the surface, and you go to the smaller and smaller pieces. I don't think he talks about fractals, but I do want to, let me see if there's a place I can tie that in, because it actually started with video games. It's pretty cool, and it's called Fractal Geometry, and it kind of ties in with this stuff too, but I'm going to let him go a little longer here.
And all the so-called particles of the universe, the forces in our universe, everything in the universe are just ripples on that ocean of existence. That's the unified field. And that field is a non-material field. It is ultimately the field of consciousness. And all our separate consciousness, wherever there's consciousness, is merely consciousness by virtue of the fact that my consciousness, your consciousness, are ultimately that. Everything in the universe is really nothing but that. Planets, trees, people, animals, we're all just waves of vibration of this underlying unified superstring field. We are really united at our core. And ultimately, the understanding that's emerging will be that there is only one consciousness in this room.
It's heavy. But you know what? I'm a little disappointed that I don't see the so-called religions, the ones, all of them, doesn't matter which one, that tell you we are the way, we are the truth. Follow us. There's no unity. They never reach out across the border to a separate religion. They're, you know, right now, with as much religious strife as we have in our country, and of course the world, all caused by war, I might add, 14 years of it in a row, we are now at the point where there is religious friction taking place. All right, so where's the leader of this church and this synagogue and this mosque? Why aren't they all getting together and letting calmer heads prevail? Aren't they all about higher self, doing the right thing? Why aren't they talking about unity? You know why? Because the moment they lend credibility to another religion, they lose a wee bit of their power, or a lot of it. Because they need you believing that you're right, everybody else is mistaken, you're the right one, and theirs is the way, and oh yeah, by the way, give us 10%. And tax-free. Or you get a quantum physicist who's talking about how, you know what, we are created. And not created. We're all connected. We are connected. And if you just want to talk the physical universe, what we now know, what he's saying is, all the way down to the smallest pieces of the particles, of the particles, of the particles, of the atoms, of the neutrons, of the protons, of the strings that make those up, of the vibration, all the way down to what he does. He's not a preacher, but he said more about mankind's connectivity and unity in five fucking sentences than I've heard in any religious text.
And it is you, and it is me, and it is each and every one of us. We individualize our consciousness through the filter of our nervous system. but the consciousness itself, our very inner subjectivity, the self in the big sense, that is universal. And knowing that, knowing it through experience, is called enlightenment and has been called enlightenment through the ages.
It sounds like you're going down through the physical realms, leptons, you know, smaller, smaller, and you're saying at the base, it's not solid, it's intelligence. Why do you use the word intelligence?
That is a very brilliant question.
I have to admit, this guy's asking great questions.
Saying really reflects a bias that all of us share. Everyone who's grown up in the scientific world is used to the concept that we're living in a material universe, an inert universe, a universe of dead matter. And because of that, it's difficult instinctively to grasp that we're not really living in a dead universe, that the universe is overwhelmingly conscious at its basis. See, what we have seen and studied for 300 years of classical physics is what we call billiard ball mechanics, macroscopic physics, classical physics, the physics of billiard balls, cannonballs, and planets. But quantum mechanics, even at the molecular level, let alone atomic, nuclear, subnuclear, in the realm of quantum mechanics, the idea of particle is replaced by the idea of wave function. And what is a wave function? Technically, it's a vector in a linear space.
Okay, so now it gets all complicated. But picture a wave function, much like you'd see a wave come on the beach. It would actually have a bow to it. It would have a rhythm. It would have a vibration. If you were to speed up, let's say the waves coming in on let's say you get an aerial view of a beach shot. And we watch the waves come in, but we don't realize that there's actually a rhythm to them. And if, you know, you can, you know, obviously put it to a time and a frequency. What he's saying is once something becomes a piece of matter, okay, it gets a rhythm to it.
But what's a vector in a linear space? What's it made of? What's the substance of nature? Well, a wave function, a vector in a linear space, is made of the same stuff thoughts are made of. We're really living in a thought universe, a conceptual universe. Quantum mechanics is just the play and display of potentiality. So the point I'm making is the deeper you go in the structure of natural law, the less material, the less inert, the less...
Natural law party. You ran in the natural law party in 2000.
The deeper you go in the structure of natural law, the less material, the less inert, the less dead the universe is, the more alive, the more conscious the universe becomes.
Think about that. You know, you pick up a rock, you look, there's no life here. Oh, yeah? Like he said, if you go down to the atomic level, you're going to experience electrons moving at almost light speed. You can now detect that. You can't see it with the naked eye, but you can detect those protons and electrons. You know they're there, or at least that's what you've called them. But the rock isn't dead. It has a ton of energy in it.
Yeah, brother. Rock's not dead. That's my salute to Radio Influence and all their wonderful wrestling and MMA shows. Yeah. Yeah.
That was getting too scientific for me. I had to let the 8-year-old take over.
Then when you get to the foundation of the universe, the unified field or superstring field, it's simply a field of pure being, pure intelligence. Intelligence, because it's the fountainhead of all the laws of nature, all the fundamental forces, all the fundamental particles, all the laws governing life at every level of the universe have their unified source in the unified field. That makes the unified field the most concentrated field of intelligence in nature. Non-material, dynamic, self-aware intelligence.
See what he said there? Self-aware? Have you seen the movie Lucy? Oh, boy, what's her name? Scarlett Johansson, yes. She gets kidnapped, and some drug dealers in an Asian country are going to send a substance, and they're going to make her a mule. They sew it into her stomach. Well, she gets beat up and the bag opens and some of this substance seeps into her bloodstream. And it essentially just kicks in her brain. And her brain goes from about 10% consciousness, eventually at the end of the movie, to 100% total use of the brain. total use of the brain and control of it. Found a great script, cheesy ending, typical Hollywood. But the concept of the idea that telekinesis, I think they show it in the movie, we're at about 20 to 30% use of your brain. John Travolta experiences telekinesis in, I'm not doing good with movies tonight. if you remember, just text me and or Facebook me. It'll come to me in 10 seconds. That's how it always works when you get older. But the whole idea of your consciousness, you know, moves from, let's say, 10 to 15 to 20%. And maybe what propels us as humans to that level, that's the quantum leap that I think we're going to make, is the understanding of our connectivity. In other words, why would you want to go kill someone halfway across the world if you realize he was made of the exact same stuff as you? He truly was the same thing as you, even though there was a separation and you viewed your life from your matrix and he viewed it from his. You'd realize that killing that person would simply be like one hand cutting off the other. Why would I kill myself? Why would I injure myself? And I think the quantum leap we're going to make as human beings is the connectivity of both the spiritual side of this conversation, which is the idea that you might be permanent consciousness and death might be an illusion, but added onto or combined with what quantum mechanics, the scientific side, is trying to say about the little pieces.
Those are the properties of the unified field.
Could you also use the term, because I've read this someplace, some people are saying at the bottom, it's also information. Is that kind of similar, or is that another way to describe the same thing?
It's very...
By the way, they're showing a chart behind him. And what he means by the bottom is, again, ironically, the pyramid shape comes into view. At the bottom is, basically we have like, asteroids and planets and us and the sun and stars and hydrogen and nebula, the physical universe. And then we go down to, like he says, the micro universe. And you go down and now we know what an atom is. And then we go, oh, geez, atoms have protons and electrons and everything orbiting them. And now we go down, okay, what's inside the electron or proton? What's in the nucleus of the atom? We go smaller and smaller and smaller. And eventually you get to almost this plateau where everything that's above it, all those pieces, all the way up to the biggest pieces, all the way down to the smallest piece, are all part of the same field, the bottom, or in, like you said, the unified field, that we're all one giant organism, if you will.
Very similar. I'd say the quantum world, quantum mechanics, is really the play and display of information, the play and display of potentiality, waves of information, waves of potential electron. And it's important, the word potential. This isn't the world of electrons. It's the world of potential electrons. But when you have to ask the question, waves of what, really? What is the field that is waving? Is it the ocean? No, it's a universal ocean, an ocean of pure potentiality, an ocean of abstract potential existence. We call it the unified field or superstring field. And that's what we're made of. So, as you said, the tighter physics have tried to grasp onto physical reality, to understand what it's really made of, what are the core building blocks of life, at the basis of it all. Life, the universe, slips through your fingers. And you come up with something that's increasingly abstract, to the realm of pure abstraction.
Pure energy. I mean, I think of Spock, pure energy. Just pure energy, pure consciousness. It doesn't need physical matter to exist inside of or around of. It just is. I am, as a biblical reference would say, I am that I am. That's what a biblical reference says. Pure consciousness. I am. There was never a point when I wasn't, and there'll never be a point when I'm not. I mean, even if that's a piece of something you consider that you might actually be, it doesn't tell you to believe in it. It doesn't tell you to, you know, to go kill other people because of it. It kind of says, here's what I call these. I don't know if I've made a reference on this show. I call it slivers of light. And slivers of light mean I grew up in Connecticut in a place where there was a lot of tobacco barns, and they would hang those barns. If you've ever seen a tobacco barn, it had a bunch of vents on the side. It was very long, and it was meant to get hot inside but still have air circulate, and it would cure the tobacco. Well, there were great places to party. Are you kidding me? You could have an entire party inside a tobacco barn. Huge! You know, if it's raining out, everybody's inside there. You sneak it in. You keep it down. You don't talk. There's no light going out. No people driving by you all night long, and you're like 30 people inside a tobacco barn at 4 in the morning getting shit-faced. Well, what happens when you crash? You fall asleep. And I remember the first time I woke up in a tobacco barn, I remember it was still kind of dark outside. I couldn't see, my pupils couldn't open. There was not enough light to see inside. And then as the sun slowly came up, the sunlight came through the small slivers in between the boards. And you'd see those slivers of light, and it would slowly light up and your eyes would adjust. Well, that's what I call, I would say, a legitimate medium, authentic near-death experience, quantum mechanics professor that are talking about the possibility that maybe there's something on the other side of this veil. And maybe there's just enough slivers of light coming through it. A little piece of information over here. A little verification over there. And again, I said, listen to how this man talks. The stuff he says is biblical in nature, but there's no dogma. It's like, yeah, we're connected. We're connected. Buddha said God was inside of you. Jesus said I and the Father are one. So maybe we're all part of this giant organism, the big electron, as George Carlin likes to call it. Maybe we are.
And that's what the unified field is. It's pure abstract potential, pure abstract being, pure abstract self-aware consciousness, which rises in waves of vibration to give rise to the particles, the people, everything we see in the vast universe.
See what he means? It starts off as potential. And then it moves itself as an energy, and it creates a vibration. Maybe it's a fast vibration, right? Maybe it's a slow one. Maybe the slow ones are what we call matter, the solid objects. And maybe the real high-pitched ones are what people call angels or beings or something else. This fascinates me because I truly feel that eventually religion is going to have to, if you have a religious belief, I'm all about what you believe in, okay? For you, believe in it. If it gives you peace, go for it. But I will attack the institutions of control. We don't want that. But you, as a human being and as someone who should have every right to believe what you want to believe, if you're devoutly religious, this show's not for you. So see ya. Don't listen. But if you are open-minded to the idea that, you know, guess what? I don't know yet. And there's more information coming in as we speak. And as Ledge likes to say, near-death experience over here. A true medium who, you know, somehow just knew your aunt's name. And, you know, and you never met that person. They couldn't have researched you. You don't, you know. A true, authentic verifications. Tiny little slivers, you know, people, there's TV shows all over about ghost contacts. I don't know how much is legit and how much is trying to take a dime out of your pocket. But what I do know is the research I did, I found enough authentic people, and I literally thought it was like slivers of light. I was like, you know what? If you go to what quantum mechanics is saying and what some mediums have said, and what some people, you know, near-death experiencers and past life regression, and you go to all these different things, there seems to be one consistent theme. One. We're all one. Now, I know that sounds you know, that can sound a little light and low for people that listen to shows that are on Radio Influence. But guess what? When you feel a connection to someone you've never met, and you feel that, where does that come from? Where does it, seriously, think about that for a second. You know, you can have feelings for your sisters and your mothers and your friends and your close friends and your high school buddies and your college friends and your coworkers. What happens if you actually are just watching a TV station one day and you watch someone, maybe he's your age and maybe he's from a country halfway around the world and you've never met him, you don't know anything about his life or his family or his culture, and suddenly you just feel so connected to what they're going through. I think that is what John Hagelin is referring to when he calls it the collective consciousness. That you can connect to people for that you've never met. For, you know, again, I think social media is going to show a lot of that. You know, we're kind of winding down the show here. I'm going to let him talk a little longer here, and then I'm going to come wrap it up with a tune.
That was great. I got awesome. Goosebumps on that one.
How is knowledge lost?
Why? I don't know, this is a big question. I'm never going to answer it, but I've always asked this question of all the people that I keep talking to because it seems so obvious to me, most of what you're saying. It just seems very natural. Why are we not educating? How do we get so... If the Vedics seem to have it right such a long time ago, how did we end up here? You know?
Boy, that's a good question. How is knowledge lost? The awareness... The knowledge of enlightenment can easily be lost. The techniques to experience pure consciousness, unbounded awareness, can easily be lost, not because they're difficult or complicated, but because they're so subtle. Very interesting. In order to transcend to experience unbounded awareness, consciousness has to settle down completely. Now, if you try and reproduce that experience, you'll never succeed, because trying involves effort, and effort keeps active, and the comprehension from expanding. That's why a very delicate technique is involved and personal instruction is involved. It's easy, it's natural, but it's delicate. And it's easy to lose it. And I'm afraid it has been lost completely. It's being revitalized again and again throughout history. Of course, Maharshi's own life is dedicated to teaching as many people as possible how to transcend and regain that experience.
I'm going to talk about this a little bit. I think... There are more one. I honestly think there's more than one way. The discipline of you know, doing meditations and quieting the mind. I've been able to do it a little bit. I haven't studied. I haven't applied myself. I hope to do that more often. What I do want to say is through the use of psilocybin, and also a few other substances. I've achieved a feeling, but you have to remember that's a chemical feeling taking place in the brain. Where I decided to go with that was the idea of pure consciousness. When I experimented, 80% of the time, 20% of the time I was partying and having a great time. 80% of the time I try to find myself alone somewhere and just go through the process of my reality is shifting right now because of the substance I'm in and taking and is influencing me. I need to think more about what reality is and so on. I kind of used it in a good way, I would think. I'm very proud of when I took it. And you know, again, I had a couple people give me some shit about it. I have a family member that won't talk to me anymore because of what I've decided to do with my life. But I've also decided to understand that, you know, maybe my five senses are far more. In Animal House, there's a scene where Tom Hulce is talking to Donald Sutherland, and Donald Sutherland basically tells Tom Hulce that on your fingernail there are atoms, and of course on those atoms what? You got a little nucleus, and then you got little electrons and protons, and they're all zipping around it. Well, what does that look like? It looks like a mini solar system. Well, what if one of those electrons was Earth in another solar system? Okay, so think about it. Again, you know, on my fingernail is a solar system, right? So then we have that solar system. So someone in that solar system has a fingernail and so on and so on. That's fractals. That is the same thing that is the biggest is the smallest. The patterns continue to repeat. And now we see a lot of patterns in our planet. We call it the Fibonacci sequence. Google it. It's a lot, you know, you see it in sunflowers and shellfish in nature. You see it in a lot of places. But fractals weren't even discovered for a while because someone was trying to do some computer recreations of a mountain. And then he decided he could actually take the software and tell it to make a triangle, then to make that triangle a third of itself. And then, you know, and what did it do? It took the same shape and made it smaller and smaller and smaller, or bigger and bigger and bigger. And suddenly it literally made very realistic looking. I think I'm trying to remember the movie it was. Oh, it was a Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan, where the Genesis planet is taking place, where it's actually, you know, Khan, it gets set off inside the nebula at the end of the show. And of course a small planet forms and a small hydrogen star is around it, but it shows, it kind of zooms in on the simulation as it talks about it earlier of how they'll generate life from lifelessness. Well, that computer technology that you see in that movie was actually the first use of fractals. And now Lucasfilms use it, and it's huge. Now it's, but what it says, it's the same thing that John Hagelin says, that this big piece has a bunch of tiny, tiny pieces. And guess what's in those tiny pieces? Smaller pieces. So, you know, kind of like Men in Black, right at the end. The universe, a literal galaxy or solar system, is inside the marble around a cat's neck. In other words, and then, of course, that becomes a marble, of course, for giant beings. In other words, the reference to time and space is only relevant to that viewer's reference. So when you go to meditation or you go to a psilocybin, you kind of melt that wall down and then you start to feel the connection to something you can't even explain. And that's pretty badass. We might run a few minutes long here because there's only about 5 more minutes of John. I want to make sure we get to all of them here.
But unfortunately, we have a society with a certain momentum. We have generations of teachers who've gone to teachers' education or members of teachers' unions that don't always support educational innovation. So it may take a generation, unfortunately, it may take a generation. Now that simple techniques, universal, non-sectarian, scientifically verified techniques exist to gain enlightenment, it still may take a generation before these life-saving technologies to develop consciousness are reintroduced into education.
You know, going back to Lucy and what he just said, I truly believe that mankind's greater knowledge is the knowledge of self. It's not about scientific things and what you can do with a computer. It's not about technologies for a better robot or a better battery. Believe me, that makes our life easier. You know, wind power and geothermal power and things I'm into, solar power and everything from hemp to cannabis, of course, making our lives better, okay, making our lives easier. But what I really think deep down inside of me is our quantum leap is going to be understanding our connectivity. Once that happens, you'll see a change in how you view another person. And this is what John's talking about, the change in consciousness. It takes place one person at a time. And then you see someone differently. Why would you want to harm them if you realize that they were just as close to you as your wife or your son or your daughter? If you can love a pet as much as you love, you know, anything else, why shouldn't you be able to love that guy? Even though you don't know who he is, he's another human being. He's got that 80-20, as I call it on this show. 80% of his life is identical to yours, from birth to death, first experiences and heartbreaks and breakups and failures and successes. Your life is so similar to that person. It is the illusion that is the other 20%. The other 20% is that he's tall and you're short and you're fat and he's black and you're rich and you're poor and he's Catholic and you're Jewish and all the wrapping paper of the illusion, which makes it pretty goddamn authentic. I'll give it that. As Einstein said, it's an illusion, albeit a persistent one. I love that quote. It's awesome. All right, John, let's go a little bit of overtime. Here we go.
You said non-sectarian. Does that mean like non-religious? Is that what you mean by that?
The experience of pure consciousness really transcends any one religion or any one philosophy. It's as scientific as it is religious. It is, after all, a state of functioning of the brain, maximally expanded comprehension. It's the direct subjective experience of the scientifically discovered unified field of all the laws of nature. Is that religious? Perhaps, but it's scientific too. So there's no reason that it should be disbarred from education. Otherwise, we're going to get the same old result. 5% development of our mental potential, another generation of war and terrorism and human cruelty. And that'll go on forever until the experience of life's essential unity is bestowed and the brain is properly developed.
That's like Lucy. It's a great movie. Like I said, typical Hollywood bullshit, melted all together, ending stupid. I did see how she transcended time and space as her brain became 100% functional. But think about this for a second. You got my song ready? Yeah, I do. Good. We are discovering this, that everything is a piece of a piece. You know, like I said, the carbon and the iron and the heavy metals that make up your body all come from when a star buys the farm. Kaboom. So, you know, you truly are made, and I'm truly am made of exploding stardust. Well, that star used to be something before it became a star. It was a nebula, which was a bunch of gases and dust. Guess what it was before that? It was a star. We are connected. We are truly connected. I think mankind's quantum leap will be discovering that. It's been a fun little show, a quick 2 hours. I appreciate you guys checking us out. If you enjoy what the show's about and some of the concepts and ideas and what I think is, like I said, being a ledgehead, we call them ledgeheads, that just means you think for yourself. You know, you're not going to follow a cult. You're not going to look up to somebody else to be your hero. You're going to be your own hero, and you're going to decide for yourself what you think about things. You'll take the time and effort to learn, and you'll realize that when you learn, you'll gain wisdom, and when you gain wisdom, you evolve, and when you evolve, life's going in the right direction, because you'll not only finish that strong, you'll pass that on to somebody else, and that's what we got to do here. We're not going to, this is like the cruise ship. It's headed in the wrong direction. It's moving at 32 knots, and it's going to be a big, giant U-turn to turn it around. It's going to take a little while, but it all starts with what you think. That's what this show's about, and I'll leave you with this pleasant little mashup of two of my heroes. We'll call it Carlin's Corner tonight, of course, on Dangerous Conversation on Radio Influence. You guys have a good night.
There is a point. Is there a point to all this? Let's find a point. Is this real? Or is this just a ride? The world is like a ride. You think it's real? It's just a ride. We can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice between fear and love. The world is like a ride. You think it's real? It's just a ride. We can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice between fear and love. Life goes up and down, round and round.
Greater wisdom than we will ever understand. A higher order. Call it what you want. Know what I call it? The big electron. The big electron. The big electron. It doesn't punish. Doesn't reward. It doesn't judge at all. It just is. And so are we. For a little while.
Life goes up and down, round and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored. Up and down, round and round, and it's very loud, loud. Don't worry, don't be afraid. It's just a rhyme, and we can change.
doesn't punish, doesn't reward, it doesn't judge at all. It just is, and so are we, for a little while.
What's up, world? I'm Pants.
I'm Monica.
And I'm Kathy.
And we're on the beach.
When we're not blowing it with the opposite sex, we love talking movies, TV shows, sports, and current events, just like you do.
We'll hit those topics, and of course, we'll keep you updated on what's going on in our radio careers, or lack thereof. On the Beach with Pants, Kathy, and Monica, every week on Radio Influence.